B-Pod Studios.
Gonna give up the game against Boston. I told y'all Brett Brown was gonna do it.
The rat.
I told you, he's a Boston rat. He was born up there, man. He a fan. He throw it. I'm telling you, man, he throw it every time. That's why he ain't get up off the seat, off the bench to do nothing. He just sat there and looked. That dude, man, I hear you. That, we better hope that's the thing, he could get these personalities together. Because his coaching is horrible.
Well, yeah. I wouldn't go. It's not horrible.
It's horrible.
A little harsh. Come on, man.
It's horrible. You can't tell me he don't know who got fouls on him and everything.
Well, here's the thing, though, Jay. I mean, they won 16 straight last year with just Embiid, Simmons,
right? Tanking teams.
I get it. 16 straight, though, is 16 straight, isn't it? Hey, they went to 52 wins last year?
Hey, we got to the playoffs and it was 1-4.
Here's the thing, Jay. Nobody ever gives Brett Brown credit for anything good.
But you're a young team.
Yeah.
Because that's where he got to help them, though.
I hear you. Listen.
That's where he got to help them. Like, when Marcus Morris was going off the other day, any simple coach on the playground, if somebody working on you like that, you go down on the other end. All right.
I was aggravated as you were. You heard me the next day. I'm just bringing you up the other side of this thing.
Because that's all we got left.
Well, I mean, look, it's very real trying to get four stars to play together.
I know, but that's just common sense. Okay, Marcus Morris working out. You go down on the other end.
All right, Jay, let's get the brass tacks here real quick. Answer Anthony's question. If Brett can get the players to be unselfish, play together as a unit, does that overcome his deficiencies, in your opinion, in coaching and strategy?
If he had a track record of it, I could see it. I'm asking the question, yes or no. If he could get the personalities together,
yeah.
That's the only shot we got.
Okay.
That's the only shot we have.
But can they do something special if he can achieve that goal? Not an X and O goal, but that goal.
Because you're so talented that it doesn't matter what right?
Exactly, because it's talent.
Yeah, you got to wind them up and let them go out there and play.
Yes.
And as long as they have the same goal in mind and go, hey, tonight's your night, Jimmy, because the matchup dictates that. Tonight it's Tobias. Tomorrow it's Joel.
Well, part of having that EQ is allowing and being able to help Jimmy become Jimmy.
Yeah.
Right?
To truly find Jimmy. He's probably the biggest X factor to this entire thing.
Is. Because you know why? Because he does many things that you need him to do.
Mm-hmm.
That if you attack men a certain way, he can take the pressure off it because he can handle the ball and you can run the offense through him. Because he's got the clutch gene. He can shoot and get shot off.
And he wants it.
I mean, he's, in so many ways, he's the most important player on this team.
Yeah, he's the ultimate determining factor.
He just is.
Joe's great.
Well, that's his role, right?
Right,
that's his role. And Ben has his role. And Tobias is going to have his role. But Jimmy's role is the most important in a lot of ways. If you just understand that those other three guys are going to do what they're going to do, if Jimmy can find his way, he's your closer.
And he's the guy that can upset the apple cart if not handled correctly.
Yes.
I hope Brett Brown has a psychology minor.
Yeah.
Because he's going to need it.
Yes, 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 yes.
All right, Fact or Fiction Friday. I want you and Egan on this one, and I want a caller to answer this one as well. Fact or Fiction, the Sixers can beat the Celtics in this year's NBA playoffs.
Fact.
In fact, they get seven game series. They can get
they
it done.
They can, yes,
them.
Yes.
And again, it's all
they
predicated on
them. They
play
together for 5 minutes, and you look at the talent. That game, they could easily have won. We just talked about
how close.
They didn't shoot well, this and that, tweaks. I don't understand Kyrie didn't play, but he's a liability defensively. So the game plays out differently.
They can get it done in that seven-game series. Now, the playoffs, you know, the coaching becomes more paramount.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And the half-court game.
But listen, and that's where the referendum comes in. Because we both, Pat and I both answer the question, fact, that they should. They're more talented than Boston.
Oh, clearly. Even with Kyrie.
I mean, listen, I love, you know, what they do and how they play as a team. but they're more talented. The Sixers should beat Boston. If they don't, if they lost to Boston in a 7-game series, I got a problem with that.
Yeah. If I'm answering the question right now and knowledge that I have in my head right now, not making any leaps, I say no. Oh. That it's fiction, that they can't beat Boston.
Well,
in a 7-game
if that's
series.
The case, then there's...
Have we got an issue?
Yeah.
610-632-0975. Let's go to Ryan out in Royersford on the Fanatic. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Fantastic, brother.
Hey, listen, I just want to piggyback off a couple of last calls you had about the Sixers. I personally have taken the last week to digest that last Boston game. And for someone who's a big Brett Brown supporter, who has been a big Brett Brown supporter for years now, I got a problem with the way that game ended. More importantly, the way he was speaking after the game is what upset me.
What was he saying that upset you the most, buddy?
Well, here's the thing, and people are critical about Brett all the time, but they asked him about his rotations late in the game.
Yeah.
They asked him about the defensive side of the ball and, you know, trying to implement players and who's going to get minutes. And, you know, obviously that was one of the first games with all the pieces, but his answers kind of really irritated me because he was saying, you know, I didn't make certain changes late in the game because I'm trying to prepare myself for what's going to happen in the playoffs.
Right.
In the back of my head, I'm thinking,
holding back?
This was right. Why are you holding back now? You know, this was a big game for me as a fan. You know, we just acquired all the talent in the world to be able to show Boston firsthand, look, we're going to be a serious problem for you when we meet, if we meet in the playoffs again this year. And they completely, in my opinion, Brett Brown completely once again got outcoached and underachieved. In a, you know, I know it wasn't the biggest game, but it was a big game for me, and I was looking for more of a
Yeah,
team.
I hear you, but you know, too, that game, big picture, doesn't mean as much as we think it means. And if you're collecting data, you know, that's where you do. I felt the same way. I was upset. I thought it was a chance to make a statement and for him to come out and blow that team out.
Right, and the thing is, like, Brad Stevens is a, you know, he's a wonderful coach. Everybody knows that. He gets some guys in Boston playing the great team game, and just the way last year ended in the playoffs with him, when, you know, I was looking for a little bit more, and the constant problem that I've had with Brett, and I think majority of Sixers Nation has, is his late-game decisions and who's getting minutes. Which guys are getting?
Well, the rotation.
Sometimes it's not even late game. It's, you know,
it's early game.
Yeah, it's like, why is Korkmaz playing
6 minutes into that game?
Like, why? So it was funny because when we were having this little chat, I was telling you about my buddy Gary Smith from formerly of Sports Illustrated, and you know, I said, all right, Gary, he answered me one thing that's driving me nuts: Korkmaz. And he goes, well, you know, like, I know he's a liability; he should never be in a game early, but. What if Brett's looking at that back unit and says, I still don't have enough three-point shooting and I need some...
So that's a message?
I might need some three-point shooting off the bench. So he's trying to see if Korkmaz can deliver that.
Okay. Korkmaz can shoot a little bit, but...
That was his answer, which I thought was a good answer. I still hate it because I don't think Korkmaz should see the light of day.
Not against the Celtics. There's plenty of patsies coming up that you can figure that out.
Right. And to me, not even in the playoffs. He should never play in the playoffs.
Well, yeah. But the thing is if you want to try and find out what he is, if you can use him in any way, shape, or form in the playoffs, then do that against the crappy teams that you have coming up on the schedule. That game was important in my mind because that team right now has a mental block when it comes to... The Sixers have a mental block when it comes to beating the Celtics. They went down in 5 last year. The Celtics have owned them this year.
Yes.
When you look at all that, I go, let's get a win so that we can change the narrative
that
we can't beat this team.
Yeah, I agree.
Like when the Bucks couldn't win in warm weather, right? It was in their head.
Yeah.
Oh, geez, it's below 32 degrees. It didn't mean a thing.
No.
But it was in their head that they couldn't beat any team in that situation.
It's a good point, and I think that's the genesis of all the frustration that everybody has.
No doubt. 610-632-0975. Let's get a read of the poll here. We have a poll question up, and it is brought to you by Roofing Nation, where you can get a brand new roof for as low as $7,900 plus free gutters. Call Roofing Nation today at 833-4-NATION or visit roofingnation.com. So we put a poll up, but it was one of my fact or fictions, Ant, the reason why we put the poll up today, which we'll get to. And I want to kind of weigh where people are right now in regards to these coaches. You, as you said in the beginning of the show, we're going to kind of weigh in on all of the sports here today. So the question is this. We all know Doug is the best coach in this city right now. I mean, he's the number one. He's got a Super Bowl under his belt a year ago. The job he did this past season was spectacular. So how do you rank? Who's number two on the list right now? Is it Brett Brown, who people have been incredibly critical of? Is it Gabe Kapler, who is just finishing his rookie season as a manager in baseball? Or is it the interim head coach who's got the Flyers playing in like 11-0-1 in their past 12 games?
Can I have a right in?
Or Scott Gordon. Who's your right in? Jay Wright?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's just the pro teams, but Jay Wright would get it. Because Jay's doing a phenomenal job without the talent that he's used to having in some of these past years with great runs. But who would you rank
number two? Jay's going to join us on Tuesday.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Awesome. I love Jay Wright.
Yeah, he's the best.
So who's number two right now, Ant? It's hard because Gabe hasn't managed a game.
I mean, I don't know about Gabe. I don't know about him. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what he's about. I need to see him more. I need to be around him more.
You don't know if he's good, bad, or indifferent at this point.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we know about the analytics, and let's see if that doesn't make sure it doesn't get in the way of things.
Yeah.
Scott just started. I mean, they're playing better.
Yeah. And then
Brett, we were talking about the issues.
Yeah.
So
it's probably between Brett Brown and Scott Gordon and the turnaround he's got. That he may not even be the coach going forward.
I guess you got to give it to Brett.
Yeah. Well, 58% of the respondents did give it to Brett.
Yeah.
58% say Brett Brown is the second best coach in the city right now. 26% say Scott Gordon. And the job that he's done with, he's implemented some strategic changes and, systems that have paid big dividends, both 5-on-5 and the penalty kill. He's also not afraid to play the young kids a ton, which was something Dave Haxtell was not willing to do. It's why you saw Yuri Laterra and, you know, Dale Weiss and those guys.
What'd you say, 28%?
I think he just physically is presenting beautifully right now.
Scott gets 28%?
26. And Gabe got 16% of the vote. Gabe's a little bit out of sight, out of mind, because it's still the offseason.
No.
You don't think that's a reason for that?
No.
There's just not a lot of faith there.
No, I think people need to see it.
Yeah. Well, we'll find out soon enough. And it appears that Mikel Franco and Scott Kingery are going to be in a battle for the third base position.
Way to push Franco.
All right. Well, we don't
know
if Franco's going to be here if they get Machado.
You know that Kingery is going to be the super utility guy.
Yeah.
Play a lot more second. You know, I can see him. See, I think Gabe's going to bat Cesar ninth a lot.
Oh, my.
Mm.
I could see that.
It's going to drive Mikey Mist crazy.
He hates the 9-0 the pitcher Ben Eighth.
It's just not tradition, you know? It's a different way of doing things.
It is. I kind of understand it with Hernandez.
Hernandez presents beautifully in the ninth position, Anthony.
Because, you know, he gives you speed there. He winds up becoming a leadoff hitter, and he doesn't get the at-bats and strike out as much as he does as the one-hole guy.
So I'm going to accentuate his positives and limit his negatives. Oh, my. 610-632-0975 is the number.
It's very good.
Yes, it's disturbing, frankly.
It is disturbing.
I do it to my wife. She's like, what the hell are you doing? And if you do it again, move out. Anthony Gargano, Jason Martinez.
Coming up to with Phillies, we got to talk Klentak as well.
Oh, Maddie. Back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
All right, what should I watch?
You looking for something?
I'm going to devote a couple hours. Because I feel like I need to. I got to get away from the sports.
Clear your head a little bit.
It's a good NBA All-Star Weekend's a good weekend to do that. So I don't know. So I go True Detective.
No, wait till
I was. I was thinking about going Thrones again.
Yeah, I'm on that right now.
To go back to Thrones.
Are you all caught up on Thrones?
Yes.
Okay.
But again,
now you got to watch something new, Mo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know what I did? I cheat. I have to be real. I kind of cheated Thrones. Like I skipped through like three, four, which is on six.
Yeah.
So three, I kind of skimmed.
That's a violation.
I know.
You definitely got to go back and take
parts
care
of four.
All right, did you watch Ozark season two?
Yes.
No, I got it for you. Narcos Mexico. Have fun. See you next week.
Oh, you know what? I never did it.
Nope. Narcos Mexico.
I saved it.
Yep. Phenomenal.
Okay, I will tell you this, though. I watched the first episode, and I was, like, disappointed.
You won't be disappointed. Keep going.
Yeah?
Keep going.
So I watched the first episode of Narcos Mexico, because you know me. I was, like, I was the biggest Narcos fan. Because I love Pena. And I love...
great.
Pena's the best.
Yeah.
The other dude I like, too.
Yeah.
But Pena was my man. I love Pablo.
Mm-hmm.
I love all those guys are great. Even
yeah.
even without Pablo, the other families were
Cali
great.
Cali Cartel.
They were great.
Yep.
So I put on the first episode, it was maybe a month ago. It was after the... Looked like the Eagles are going down. Let me dive in there.
Yeah.
And I watched the first episode and I was like, this not the same.
You weren't in the right mind to do it yet. Because you knew it was still football season and you weren't going to be able to dedicate.
All right.
Go back. Put it this way.
No Pena?
Doesn't matter.
Right.
You have new blood that comes in. But I will tell you, Pablo does come back.
He does?
Because this is the parallel time with the Mexican cartel and Pablo. There's a little immersion.
I love Pablo.
And the same actor, the whole thing, right?
He's the greatest, that dude.
Oh, he was awesome.
You watch The Handmaid's Tale?
No.
On Hulu?
No.
I don't have Hulu.
Oh, my God. That show is wild, man.
Yeah. Is it really?
That show. I had the same reservations that I heard in Jason's voice when he said no. And I watched the first episode.
What is
like,
it?
What is going on? It's like it's set in a dystopian a world. It's hard to describe, honestly. And it's like, but this girl is stuck. I'll describe it to you after, during the break. But it is incredible. Like I binged through that like a buzzsaw.
Mm.
It's unbelievable. It's worth getting Hulu just to watch it.
Yeah, I got Hulu just so I could finish Sons of Anarchy, which was phenomenal. But put it this way, I loved Narcos the original with Pena and the whole thing. I ranked that an A-, migrated. I graded Narcos Mexico at an A+.
No.
The only other shows that I've given an A+.
No way.
Yes, I did. I've only given one other show. I got a couple. The Americans I gave an A to. The Wire I gave an A to. The Sopranos I gave an A++.
Dude, by the way, The Americans is a great show.
Phenomenal.
The Wire is the Wire. The Wire is the best. 40 Degree Day. remember that?
Yep.
Nobody cares about a 40-degree day.
I loved Marlo Stanfield, too. He's just cool.
Wow, yeah.
Bodyguard was good, if you want to watch that. That's more recent.
I saw parts of that.
You can go Bundy Tapes, too. Go the four episodes, if you want.
I mean, I don't
a little disturbing.
Yeah, I'm out on that.
Yeah. I do a bunch of the documentaries, too. If you want to go BBC show, go Broadchurch. David Tennant's phenomenal in it.
I do like BBC a lot.
Yeah, they hit you in the belly. They don't hit you
in the mind. I'll give you one doc that I stumbled on, and I was like, I couldn't stop watching it. It's Precinct 39.
Like 89?
89?
It's 85 or something like that about the New York cops?
Yes!
Yep.
Oh, I saw this, yeah.
Wow!
Yeah, it's great.
That one dude who was just like, he was a arch criminal in blue.
Yeah. It was a great show, though. The great documentary.
Oh, my God. It was well done.
Yep. Absolutely. All right, let's get back to the phones. Let's get to 610-632-0975. That's the number. I love talking about those shows and stuff, too.
Yeah, it's a good time, too.
So, I got the whole ranking. I'll have to tweet it out again. Dominic in South Philly joins us on The Fanatic. How you doing, Dom?
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Great.
Real fast, I know you were talking about The Sopranos earlier. I'm sure that probably both of you know her. You know, they are doing a prequel that's in the works.
The Saints of Newark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's. I think that's going to be like really cool. I mean,
yeah, I'm not just, interested.
Like, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't think it would be even. No,
I'm really kind of not. Just I don't know. I'm not feeling it. But when it comes out, you know, we'll see.
Well, I like the storyline. I mean, maybe the storyline is pretty good.
Yeah.
I still love that actor who played his father.
Oh, Johnny Boy?
Yeah.
He's a great actor, that dude.
Yeah, that's what I'm excited about, because I used to love the flashbacks.
Yeah, me too. Where Uncle June, when he was a young man.
Yeah, that guy looked like him, too. You remember that?
He did, didn't he?
Yeah,
Tony, casting is so Tony Uncle Al, Tony Uncle Johnny?
Yeah. a few callers back, a couple guys that have got to be on some kind of good drugs today. I don't know how the one guy, listen, I was all prior to the trade deadline about Mirotić also, but how do you say that Elton Brand, didn't go all in? The guy, I mean, really, Tobias Harris, I'll take 7 days a week, twice on Sunday over Mirotić. And to say that he didn't go all in and do, you know, give Brett Brown, who I've been an apologist for, I got to admit, to a degree, but now I'm getting a little...
No, you're so right. So right.
Yeah, I mean, I think... And that's why I think that I'm going to... Listen, this is... We still got to say that there's deficiencies there as a coach. We know that. But that being said, the guy, the first time since he's been here, had a players last year, he won 52 games. He's on pace to win 53 this year. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt and see what happens. Now, if there's any type of... if they don't make it to the Eastern Conference, I don't care if they play Boston the first round. And honestly, for whatever reason, I think we'll play better against Boston, because that game, as frustrating as it was, that whole team, with the exception of Butler, who missed critical free throws, who never does in this game, they played like crap and they were still in the game. That being said, if they do not make the Eastern Conference Finals, I think a move's got to be made. And I think Elton Brand, in so many words, is saying what he expects.
Oh, yeah, I totally agree, Dom. He's saying it. He's saying, time is now. All right, let me give you a fact or fiction. Fact or fiction Friday, right? Tell me if this statement is fact or fiction. Brett Brown coaches game one of the Sixers 2019-20 season.
I say yes, because I really believe they're going to make the finals.
Wow, okay. Great. Dom, have a good weekend, man.
You too, guys. Thank you.
All right. Brett Brown, Ant, coaches game one of the 2019-20 season.
I don't even want to even guess, because to me, I don't know what's going to happen in the
playoffs. Too much in front of you.
I heard someone called Devon. I forget the caller's name. He was good. But his belief was that he's already... He's a lock to come back. I don't think he's a lock to come back.
What was his reasoning that he would be a lock?
I don't know. They're not going to read. They're happy.
Still too early?
Yeah. You know, the group. He's still new with the group.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Elton has really, and he said it when he was in here with us the other day, has really said that, you know, this is, you know, they've got all the tools and they pushed all in for a reason, because they think they can do something. They want to go to that level of team that becomes not a good team in the NBA, but a powerhouse.
Yes. Yes.
You got powerhouse talent.
Yes.
Now it's incumbent upon the coach to get the most out of that talent. And that goes to what we're talking about all day: strategy, rotations, and also the ability to play the psychologist and get them all together.
I agree. See, I think this whole thing, it works out. I think it'll work out with how it looks. Like, it's... The determining factor to Elton's going to be, how's it look? I mean, we all know, we all can see it. You know, there they go. It's impossible to say, like, all right, you go to the Eastern Conference Finals, he's safe. Like, if you go to the Finals, he's safe. Short of that, I think it's all about how you look.
If the same issues crop up.
Yeah, I mean, if they go into the Eastern Conference Finals and like, they get swept, they lose close game, and they're coaching errors, I think it could spell the end.
Yeah, that'll be the optics of it.
See, to me, it's he gets to the finals, he's a lock to come back. He's out in the first round, he's a lock to get fired. Then it's all in between what happens.
Yeah, and how it looks.
What are the optics of it?
Yeah, how are they defeated? What are the reasons they didn't move on?
Yeah. I got a trivia question for you.
Okay, go ahead.
The actor who played Tony's father also played in a movie, gangster movie, opposite Al Pacino.
Opposite Pacino in a pretty big role?
Well, you know, I wouldn't call it a big role opposite him, but he played in a Pacino movie.
Is Johnny Depp in the movie?
And they were in the same scene a couple times.
Is Johnny Depp in this movie?
Incorrect.
Carlito's Way?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, now tell me who he is.
he was, he at the party where the yayo was everywhere?
No.
Billy, was it with Leguizamo's character?
Nope.
I can't remember the scene.
Benny Blanco, you're
Benny
thinking
Blanco
of.
From the Bronx.
No.
I can't remember the scene. I remember him being in it because I remember that face.
Well, he's in it a couple times. So he goes and sees Sean Penn, Kleinfeld.
Yeah.
And he stabs him.
He, with the letter thing?
So remember, he stabs him in the elevator. And then you see him again. If you remember, you see him a couple times.
That's why I thought it was at the party at Kleinfeld's house.
You see him in the club where he's about to leave. Carlito, remember you see him in the hospital room, right? Mm-hmm. And you see him as a cop. He's dressed as a cop. And Carlito's going, nah, man. You know, if you had the gun, you want to have the gun here. And he spins the thing and he takes the bullets. So he leaves Kleinfeld an unloaded gun. And as he's walking, you see him throw the bullets in the trash can.
Uh-huh.
Goodbye, counselor. Right?
Uh-huh.
And then you see that actor walking as a cop, dressed as a cop, and Kleinfeld pulls the gun. He squeezes the trigger. It's empty. And then he goes, this is for my father. Boom. Then you see him in the club with Tony T. Tony T comes in
Big
the club.
Guy.
Right. And he goes, hey, Carlito, come on, sit down over here. He dances like an Italian. Remember that? And then
your recall is spectacular on Carlito's way.
And he goes, and they catch him lying. He goes, I saw him. He was with his buddy. He was on that boat. And they wanted to kill him.
Wow. Okay.
But that was Johnny Soprano, that guy.
Wow. Good. That's a good pull by you. Let's go to Trey in Haddonfield.
We don't watch him way too many
movies. What's up, Trey?
Hey, guys. I got a couple things to talk about with the Sixers. The number one is, why does the center have to throw the ball in every time the other team makes a basket? Wouldn't it make more sense to have him down on the other end of the court waiting for the offense to come to him? Plus, it would keep his legs longer in the game.
I got to ask you, what do you mean?
Every time the other team makes a basket, Embiid has to throw it to Ben to bring it up the court.
So not have him inbound the ball to have to run the full length of the floor.
You know,
exactly.
I mean, but what happens is he's down low rebounding. So if he's down low rebounding, it's a step to go and give it takes a second that, you know, don't get caught up with that.
The first game that Tobias played, he and Tobias were fighting for the ball to throw it in. And Tobias has a leg.
You got it. Don't worry about inbounds passes.
Yeah.
All right, please. After a big basket, that doesn't mean anything.
All right. The other thing was, when they got Tobias, I heard you guys say that he's ambidextrous. Maybe he can get together with Ben and help him out.
Tobias is ambidextrous?
That's what you guys were saying when they picked him up.
I don't know that.
You get the wrong show, Trey.
Yeah, I don't know that. But again, it doesn't really matter. It's one guy. Trey, my God, Trey. You got to get a couple different worries. There's a lot more worries. Then the triviality.
Cork Moss was in the game with 6 minutes in the first quarter, and you're worried about the inbound pass.
Yeah. No,
Pat said my ear because it's literally four steps. For Embiid, it's like two steps.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Let me give you another Fact or Fiction Friday. But we got some open lines. First time today, if you want to jump on, not a lot of waiting, at 610-632-0975. Fact or Fiction, tell me if you agree with this statement. Trading Zach Ertz would be a good idea for a first round draft choice in this year's draft. Fact or
fact.
Fiction? Whoa, really?
Fact.
All right, why?
Now, again, you said first round pick, like top 10 pick.
Top 12, yeah.
I'm in.
KJ!
I'm in. I mean, first of all, you got I'm in because you have Goddard.
Exactly.
And so there's redundancy to tight end.
Values never
as
be higher.
As much as you could say you're going to have those two in together at the same time, neither can block, can really block. So
Goddard's a slightly better blocker.
He is, but, you know.
Marginal.
I mean, having two tight ends in, I know Belichick had it with Hernandez and Gronk, but
they were both spectacular. spectacular.
I mean, I'll be honest with you. Like, you don't need to have... They're two excellent tight ends.
Well,
Goddard's a stud.
Take it a step further. One of the complaints is that Carson goes to Ertz too much. Now, I don't think he favors him because the numbers didn't bear that out.
I hear what you're saying. So you're saying if you move Zach, then what you're doing is you're taking away that
security blanket.
Yeah, that thing.
Yeah, now you spread it more, which is what people say that Foles
did. I don't think I would do. I would do it for the pick.
Yeah,
because I think
you solve a problem.
Hey, by the way, I mean. I think Goddard could be as good as Zach. Zach Ertz is terrific, man. He's got great hands. I don't know if he's got the hands. I think he does, but Zach's got great hands. Now, like you're putting me in a position where I can get a top pick.
Yeah.
And the other thing I do is I'm helping my salary flexibility.
Uh huh. Because you got a young player that you're not going to be paying as much as Zach Ertz.
And got it. And I got it. And I get another pick.
And the pick's going to solve a major problem.
Exactly.
So it's.
No, I definitely would have to think of that.
Yeah. I said it's fact too, which is why I phrased it that way, that trading Zach Ertz right now might be a good. It may be a really good idea because his value will never be higher.
Trade everybody!
Yeah.
Would you do it?
Yeah, absolutely. Because of his value, as Jason said, will never, ever be higher.
Yeah.
You look at what the package that the Saints got for Jimmy Graham. Yeah, I would absolutely trade him.
I mean, I like him a lot. I don't want to be an ingrate.
Yeah. I appreciate him. I like him.
I like the guy a lot.
But you solve some problems and you give yourself some cap flexibility in the process, Ant.
I mean.
No more Julie Ertz either, though. She goes.
I like the guy a lot. I think the guy's a good team player.
Mm-hmm.
He's a hell of a player. He's a good team guy.
Yeah. He's a good citizen.
But, especially if I can get a top five pick.
Mm.
Yeah.
He's been here for a while, too. Like, how long can he continue to perform at this level?
Well, you got Goddard. I mean, that's the bottom line. Yeah.
You already have the safety blanket.
Well, look at a team like Cleveland. You know what I mean? You get a good pick. They just picked up.
They have a
Kareem
good tight
Hunt.
End.
Yeah. They have
Njoku. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. They have one.
Njoku.
He's
way
good.
Better than him, though.
Nah, well, Njoku's good.
Yeah,
he's athletic.
Yeah,
he's a good player.
Do we know who's doing Hard Knocks this year? By the way,
no, not yet.
I'm trying to think who would need a tight end.
Houston.
Well, look at teams with a young quarterback.
Yes.
Houston would be good. Deshaun Watson.
Houston would be good. There's another team that I think needs a tight end.
But you're going to get like a 20th pick with Houston, presumably. Would you consider doing it?
Yeah.
That's a playoff team.
Yeah. What about Baltimore?
No, they just took Hunter Hurst in the first round.
But he didn't do anything.
Hayden Hurst.
Yeah, Hayden Hurst.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm going Hunter, one.
Yeah.
Sorry, Stephen A. Smith.
He didn't do anything. But, that's your point.
That's the kind of team with a young quarterback, that he can really help a young quarterback.
Who was I thinking? They really
like Buffalo need a tight end.
Needs a tight end. The Bill, but they got a ton of picks.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm the Bill, if I'm a team, I don't trade a first round pick for a tight end.
Yeah, unless you think that your quarterback really needs.
I don't care how good he is. I'm not trading a first round pick.
Picks are gold.
Yeah,
yeah.
Especially if it's a top pick. I mean, if I get one,
how about San Diego? Gates is a fossil.
Yeah.
They have Hunter Henry.
They have Hunter Henry, right? Hunter Henry. Who? No, there's somebody else that could use one. That doesn't. Oh, the Rams.
Oh, yeah. Send him out there with Goff. All right.
Oh, my God. Now that's
scary.
Now, here you go, right?
But it's a crappy first round pick, though.
Right. But here you go. Like, if you're the Rams, if I'm the Rams. That's exactly what I want. Mm-hmm. I go to the Eagles and go, what do you want?
1-4. 1-5. 610-632-0975. He's coming off a season where he set the NFL record for tight ends. What, 113 catches? 610-632-0975.
Saints can use one, too.
I'm not helping the Saints. Screw the Saints.
I know.
Anthony Gargano, Jason Martinez on the Fanatic.
All right, what do you say about Parks Casino? I was there last night, and, man, what a great time. That sportsbook has it all. It caters to the 4-for-4 fan. Yes, it does. Parks Casino, Pennsylvania's number one casino. Parks has it all for the sharps or the first-time sports bettor. Make it easy to get your action in. You can bet spreads and parlays and teasers and props and much more. The sportsbook inside Parks Casino is an oasis. All the action on the big screen right in the middle of the casino. Plus, they got their free bet slip builder app. It lets you plans out all your bets from anywhere with the latest odds. There's also sports betting kiosks throughout the casino where you can make your bets and print your tickets 24 hours a day. You can also place your sports bets on the way to the game at the South Philly Turf Club on Packer Avenue near the stadiums. Sports betting now available at the South Philly Turf Club. And Parks Casino also has lots of food options. Liberty Bell Gastropub, Parks Grill Steakhouse, the beautiful new Beer Garden, Oliveto Italian Restaurant, Bamboo Noodle House, and of course the classic, the great Chickies and Pete's. Bet with the best. The Sportsbook at Parks Casino, PA's number one casino. Must be 21. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Gotta get in with those socials. Johnny.
Johnny. All right, 7 o'clock hour brought to you by Golden Nugget Jewelers, where Philly gets engaged. I want one Eagles thing to throw into the mix here.
You teased this earlier.
Yes. Are you worried about Carson? Like, super worried about Carson? Because I think I can make the argument that he has more pressure on him than any other quarterback in the history of the Eagles, and that includes Donovan.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
All right, so I know the Nick Foles factor that he won a Super Bowl as his backup.
First of all, he's got the whole town that basically were Foles people. And to this day, we had one yesterday, guy calls up. Still trying to make the case. Like, at this point, even if you feel that way, just, you know, save your breath, because it's not happening, right? Foles isn't the guy. But I run into people on a daily basis, and a lot of women that go, you know, well, why are we trading
Nick? Why didn't
Nick
go? Yeah.
You know, I don't like Wentz. You know how many I don't like Wentz conversations? And it's funny because it's such an awkward position, because like people come up to you, and I try to be polite. I don't want to lag you sports in person.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we do it 4 hours a day. I don't need to do it.
Yeah,
we're going to
do it on the sidewalk in front of the Wawa at Center City.
So, you know, like, you meet people, and sometimes you want to, you know, you placate them a little bit, whatever. But I go, you know, Carson's kind of the better player. And I try to do, you know, like that thing, but he's got a massive amount of pressure because he's got the pressure of Foles. So, you know, it's all well and good that
who's a legend,
right? That Foles is gone, but it's almost bad because he leaves a specter. It's a ghost, and the ghost is always more difficult to defeat than the real person. So you have the ghost of Foles. You have his own injury situation. So he's got injury issues. You got a coaching staff that, you know, I don't know how comfortable he was.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You got that story that comes out where you got certain guys, like, who knows? I think he's under the most pressure, crippling type of pressure. And he goes from being the belt of ball, right?
Chosen one.
Swag. To that day,
North Dakota Strong
in Los Angeles, when he gets hurt, his whole world was rocked.
It was a big fork in the road,
shaking at its core.
Yeah, and everything that transpired thereafter to this moment that we sit here and he's at the Sixers game with Alshon the other night.
And all I keep thinking about is just the nerves, the pressure, that he is under incredible amount of pressure.
Mental pressure. There's going to be an emotional pressure. And there's going to be pressure to stay healthy.
Donovan had pressure, too.
Yeah.
But he also had a defense that could bail him out.
Jim Johnson.
You know, and then, of course, 04, he had to deal with that whole specter of, talk about a ghost, the ghost of the championship games, right? And then it was the Super Bowl stuff. He had a lot of pressure on him.
T.O.
The racial pressure that happened with the Limbaugh. Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah. Yeah, no, there was a lot. And how Wentz deals with that is going to be the determining factor. Because I know this, Ant, that even the people that were Wentz people and are Wentz people right now, if he falters, revisionist history comes in and says, we all should have kept Nick Foles. I was a Foles guy all along. You know, you become part of that. And that's going to be, especially if Foles leaves and has success.
Oh, God forbid.
Right?
No, because if he has success, it makes it even worse for Carson.
Oh, because then you really make the case they should have kept him and he is a different quarterback.
So I'm going to ask you guys.
Make me uncomfortable.
Are you worried about it? Because truthfully, I'm worried about him. It's going to take somebody really, really mentally strong, to get through this thing.
Yeah, you're going to need his faith.
Yes,
you're
going
to need to lean on it big time.
Yeah.
Well, maybe that's a reason why you don't trade Zach Ertz. Keep that guy around him because he's a big part of it. Yeah, one of my factor fictions is Nick Foles will not have success on another team next season to a high level. Is that factor fiction?
I don't know.
Depends where he ends up.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough one to talk about. Like, you know, if he goes to Jacksonville, I don't see why he can't win.
Or the Giants. He could do some damage with that wide receiver core and running game.
Yeah. Oh, and listen, you know, you got Barkley as a built-in.
Sensational.
You know, space creator.
Yeah. Well, that's a good question. All right, let's add that to the mix, and we got more factor fictions for everybody. Let's go to George in the Northeast is on the Fanatic. How you doing, Georgie?
My man, how you feeling today?
What's happening?
I'm chilling, man. I just wanted to ask you about Brett Brown, because I know everybody and whatnot like wants him gone after that Celtics team and all, whatever. But I was just thinking, like, with us getting there, you know, Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris and all that everybody knew, I feel like we should at least give him a chance until next year, regardless of what happens this year in the playoffs. Do you agree?
I don't, Georgie. I'm rooting for him to be the guy. And, like, you bring up a good point about these guys. They're only going to have, you know, 20-some games in the regular season to get to learn to play together and then the playoffs. But it all depends how it looks. Like, if he's out coached badly, then I think I'd move on. I don't want that to happen. I want him to succeed. But I can't say right now that he has to be my coach next year.
Right. Okay. Cool.
Yeah, George, we got to see how it looks, too. If the same issues crop up against Brad Stevens that have cropped up all too often over the past two seasons, then you really got to make an honest evaluation and figure out if that's your guy going forward.
Like, I'm rooting for it, yep. George. I'm genuinely rooting for him to be the guy.
Yeah, because I've been watching it since he's been here with this whole process, and I've been rooting on for him, too. So that's the reason why I asked, because this is like, you know, only 20-some games of this actual team.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.